The Essex boys were shouting themselves blue in the face, telling me to get a move on, waving their arms, standing up and making as if to run at that rope themselves, because they were only a few yards to the side of it. You cranky lot, I thought, stuck at that winning post, and yet I knew they didn't mean what they were shouting. Were really on my side, and always would be, not able to keep their maulers to themselves, in and out of cop shops and clink. And there they were now, having the time of their lives, letting themselves go in cheering me, which made the governor think they were heart and soul on his side, when he wouldn't have thought any such thing if he'd had a grain of sense. And I could hear the lords and ladies now from the grandstand, and could see them standing up to wave me in. "Run!" they were shouting in their posh voices. "Run!" But I was deaf, daft and blind, and stood where I was, still tasting the bark in my mouth, and still blubbing like a baby. Blubbing now out of gladness that I'd got them beat at last. Because I heard a roar and saw the Gunthorpe gang throwing their coats up in the air, and I felt the pat-pat of feet on the drive behind me getting closer and closer, and suddenly a smell of sweat and a pair of lungs on their last gasp passed me by and went swinging on towards that rope, all shagged out and rocking from side to side, grunting like a Zulu that didn't know any better, like the ghost of me at 90 when I'm heading for that fat, upholstered coffin. I could have cheered him myself. "Go on, go on, get cracking, knot yourself up on that piece of tape." But he was already there, and so I went on, trotting after him until I got to the rope and collapsed with a murderous sounding roar going up through my ears while I was still on the wrong side of it.